Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.
Time, as I was saying now, for our Friday gathering. I'm joined by Fiona O'Loughlin, Fianna Fáil Senator and Shannon spokesperson on Foreign Affairs, Darren O'Rourke, Sinn Féin TD for me, the Eastern Party spokesperson on Education and Youth, Tom McEnany, media consultant and founder of Effective Aid Ukraine, and Christina Finn, political editor with the Journal.ie. Good morning to all of you. Thanks very much for coming in. Fiona, the government was accused in the Dáil this week of playing politics with immigration and stoking anti-immigrant sentiment. Fair charge?
I don't think so. I don't think that's fair at all. Ireland has been very well known right across the world in terms of having a humane approach to those that need it. When we look at the figures of people coming into Ireland, 25% of them are actually originally from Ireland and they're coming back in. I think another 24% are from Europe, 4% then from the UK, and the remainder then between those that are coming in as refugees and those to work.
Was the timing poor, though, given everything that was going on at the moment? Was this the right point to raise that conversation in that way?
I think the conversation has been ongoing for some time, and the conversation has to be about also the 1 in 5 that we have working in Ireland in a lot of services, particularly the health services. And those people that have come that are not were not born in Ireland have given so much in terms of services, in terms of the economy. I think the controversy is around those that we have within the IPASS system. Currently we have about 33,000. The numbers have gone down. I think that we are correct.
Can you be sure that the people who have a problem with immigrants here making that kind of a distinction, though?
No, I'm not sure. And that's why I think that the conversations are needed. And I think having a humane, firm but fair approach that is based on rules is important for everybody. And I think in general, people welcome that.
OK, but do you not worry that when people aren't making distinctions between different kinds of immigrants, that everybody who is visibly different or sounds different ends up on the receiving end, perhaps, of unfavourable attention in this context, when politicians talk about this subject in this way?
Yes, that has to be a concern. Where I have my office in Newbridge, within 100 yards, there are 2 IPASS centres. And those that have come fleeing from persecution while they're waiting to see if they will be granted refugee status, they are involved as volunteers with the local tidy towns. In speaking to them, they feel very welcomed in the town that I live in. But it is a concern that there is a growing, shall we say, feeling that these are people that need that can be targeted, and that is regrettable.
Darren O'Rourke, isn't it nonsense to use this as a political football? The Taoiseach used moderate, measured language. He said too high. He didn't say puncture the boats. He didn't say turn them back. He didn't say that this is an intolerable burden.
Well, I think it's, and I will agree with Fiona in relation to this, it's really important that we have this conversation because others will fill the vacuum if we don't. But it's also really important that the Taoiseach doesn't act like a commentator in relation to this. A huge part of the difficulty here has been created by vacuums being created, but also by a system and systems, whether it be in terms of international protection, IPASS or economic migration, that doesn't command public trust and confidence. And bad actors, or whatever you want to call them, people, you know, using social media to spread misinformation and disinformation, they play on that. So there are real issues there in terms of lack of investment in communities, for a start, and all of the problems that we deal with in the Dáil and in constituencies on a day-by-day basis, lack of investment in communities.
But what was controversial about his language, Darren? Because the system is groaning, creaking under the weight, and all he said was too high.
Well, my issue in relation to the Taoiseach is around his lack of action for so long in dealing and putting a system in place that people can have confidence in. So, for example, in terms of, and we've seen it, like when I speak to people, and I agree with that point, that inherently the Irish people are decent and welcoming, and like we have that in our DNA. Where what I hear from people, though, is a system that is unfair, that is broken, that is making multi-millionaires out of people, a small number of people, some of them who don't have great track records, let's be honest in relation to that, and what people see as an inequity. And of course, you know, those people online and elsewhere, and it seeps offline, and that's the reality of it, play on the them and us. And our point consistently in Sinn Féin has been, we need a system that people can have confidence in, that is fair, efficient and enforced. And so there is absolutely
okay, but
no
this,
question.
This is a conversation about the language. Let me get back to that. Tom McEnany, wouldn't it be fair to say that of the 38 fires that have been started in IPAS centres in the course of the last 7 years, that it's probable that the guys who started those fires didn't listen to a single word that any politician had said, and were not going to be persuaded or dissuaded either way?
I'm not sure if that would be fair to say. I think that when you have politicians coming out, and I think there's been a lurch to the right among a lot of politicians, especially over the last 2 years in relation to their position on migration. And I think that gives some people a feeling of license. I think the more you pander to, and I think we're seeing that pandering with both of the government parties and with Sinn Féin over the last 2 years, the more you pander to that the far right, on, and the more you come out with anti-migrant talking points, the greater license you give to those people who would go even further.
Is that a reasonable and proportionate criticism of a man who said that the numbers that were arriving here were too high?
Well, I didn't single out that particular man.
Okay, but that's the context that we're talking about.
But that man is part of a government which in the last week has further restricted the accommodation and made life very difficult for Ukrainians who are fleeing a war not of their choosing, for women and children mostly who are fleeing from frontline cities, and said, well, actually, you know what, we're only going to give you 30 days. So he may be saying one thing, but his actions are lacking, and despite what Fiona is saying, lacking in any humanity, any compassion. So I think the more the government is, shall we say, cracking down on migrants, making life more difficult for migrants, the more those people who the government would never agree with, who are going much, much further, let's accept, I'm not putting in the same camp, but the more the government adopts an anti-migrant position, the greater license is felt by those who have an extremist anti-migrant position.
Christina Finn, are there populists in the Dáil seeking to capitalise on this with anti-immigration sentiment?
I think when we're talking about the language that politicians use, the issue here is that they have to be very careful around the way they talk about this. And if we're talking about, you're saying, what was the issue with me, with Simon Harris saying our migration numbers are too high? He said, I think this needs to be considered in a very serious way by government. That seems like a fine statement, but there's a multitude of different facets to migration in Ireland. So we have asylum seekers that come in under international protection. We have work permit people that come in on visas. We have people coming in from the EU. We have people coming in from Britain. So when you use a broad statement like that on the way into cabinet, you're not being specific about exactly what you're talking about. And we've seen the migration debate pivot somewhat. Generally, we're talking about people in international protection and also people coming from Ukraine. But yesterday in Leaders' Questions, the discussion pivoted towards people that are coming from other countries to work. And the Taoiseach said that he was going to look at people that were coming in from abroad sector by sector. Cian O'Callaghan asked him from Social Democrats, what sectors do you want to reduce the numbers coming from abroad? What sectors are they working in that you want to target? Is it the construction sector? Is it, you know, nurses and doctors? Is it the tech sector? So we're getting into a larger conversation around the migration debate, which is fair enough. But the point I think that people are saying is when we're discussing all these things, the language around it is very important. Okay. Because if you're a person working in one of those sectors and you hear that the Taoiseach is saying that he's going to look at people working in those sectors sector by sector, you know, you might feel a bit threatened by that, about, you know, well, am I welcome here? Like, am I one of the people that, you know, is too high?
Okay, but are we inhibiting our ability to have a proper, disinhibited and honest conversation about this, excuse me, if everybody has to mind their P's and Q's?
I don't think it's about minding P's and Q's, but it's about being specific with the facts. You know, saying our migration numbers are too high is too broad a statement to start off a conversation. You need to be, like, we're talking about international protection a lot on the airways at the moment. It's actually fallen since last year, I think, by about 40-odd%. You know, that's where we're coming from in this. If we had had the conversation last year where it was at its peak, fair enough, you know, the language would have been a lot more heightened. But we are seeing a fall off in that. I think Jim O'Callaghan said that 4,000 deportation orders were issued and he's 1,770 have been removed from the state. They have been making changes around that. But I think we need to think rationally about this. And when we're talking about graphs being raised in the Dáil, like about Eurostat, which the Taoiseach raised yesterday, showing the rise in migration figures in Ireland. We need to remember that these are people at the end of the day. There are people coming for asylum from countries that feel they're warranted for it. There are people that obviously are coming for economic reasons. But there are also people that are working here in our everyday services.
Fiona, were the Taoiseach's remarks cleverly calibrated to lean into anti-immigrant sentiment by not being specific, or was it an honest mistake?
Well, I certainly can't speak for Simon Harris. I'm not a member of his party.
You're a member of
his government. I don't know what he was thinking.
So you can speak for him.
But I will say that the changes that Jim O'Callaghan has brought in as Justice Minister, I think, were important ones. And the fact that people can now get a decision within 4 months.
No, we're talking about the use of language. We're not talking about the system. And I'm sure your party colleague is appreciative of the support that you're giving him. But let's just, you know, confine ourselves to the use of language and the remarks by the Taoiseach. Were they an honest mistake or a calculated remark?
As I say, I genuinely cannot answer for him. I know that I feel that our culture has been enriched by those that have come in. When I look at our local schools and I see children from other cultures and other backgrounds, I think we have a lot to learn and a lot to gain by those that are coming into the country.
Let's move it on to the 2020 edition of the Education at a, the most recent edition of it, of the Education at a Glance report, and the biggest ever primary school survey that went live this week. Your Sinn Féin spokesperson, Darren O'Rourke, for Education, do you welcome this survey, and do you welcome what it has to say about the amount of time that is spent or devoted to religious instruction?
I certainly do welcome it, and it's something that we, you know, had been promised for some time. And I think it is really needed and will be a very valuable piece of work if it is. There's a lot of uptake, and there's 493,000 odd households that it's applicable to. My own is one of them. And we have completed the survey. I hope people do avail of the survey. And then, importantly, I hope it amounts to something. It contributes to the objective in it, and I think it's one we can share, is that we can shape our primary schools into the future based on preferences of preference. Parents.
And in terms of your preferences, in your opinion, is 2 hours a week too much time to spend on religion?
Well, I think the questions that parents are asked, and I think it's something that they will have to weigh up. I know in my own experience as a constituency TD, you know, there's what we want to see is options for parents, and we have the situation where 90-odd% of our primary schools are Catholic primary schools. We know that a significant smaller number than that are getting married in Catholic churches, and at the same time, lots of parents, you know, are traditional Catholics, like their children to make the sacraments, they like to have that day out, they like to be Catholics in Ireland. The question they have to answer is, do they want that religious formation, those preparation for sacraments, in the school or outside of the school. Yeah. And there is a piece, and I think, you know, it's really important for a lot of people, you know, who aren't Catholic and don't have an alternative in their community and in practical terms. And it's fine for a lot of people who are, I can take it or leave it. But for some children, they're going into school every day and they're being isolated for whether it be half an hour a day or and it can be longer. Yeah. During. So that's, I think, what people have to weigh up.
Fiona, you've just said that our culture, our society has been enriched by all of the new arrivals to these shores. Is it that much to ask of us that we would change the way that we teach religious education, maybe remove it?
I don't believe that it is, and that's why this survey is very, very important. And I speak as a former primary school teacher who taught religion, who enjoyed teaching it, because in fact, a lot of it was about respect for environment, respect for family, for community.
I know, but you can't have enjoyed having to ask some of the children to go and sit at another table, remove themselves from the classroom, opt out at that point.
Okay, I was getting to that point, because I've also taught First Communion and First Confession. And I've had the experience where some children within the class, their families didn't want them to take the sacraments, so they opt out. And I agree, that was difficult. And I also had a situation where there was a local Church of Ireland school where some Catholic children who went there came up to our school to prepare for the sacraments. I think it's really important that education should reflect society and it should reflect parental choice. So I had a look at the survey last night. I'm not a parent, so I didn't actually submit it, but I went through it. And to be fair, it's also not just about religion. It is about choices, about whether parents want their children to be in a co-ed or a single-sex school.
There's many other things there.
And around language.
I'm just confining the conversation for the moment to that issue of religion. Tom McEnany, should we be teaching religion in national schools?
Absolutely not. I have no objection whatsoever to families, to parents, to religious organisations teaching religion to children. But I don't think it has any place in state-funded schools. As Darren pointed out, 90% of schools in Ireland are Catholic, which means 90% of the children in Ireland are being taught as a matter of fact that the only people capable, the only people qualified to impart the word of God, as you understand God, are men.
Okay, but what they are being taught is essentially boiling down to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a central tenet of liberal democracy.
They're being taught
an
awful lot more than that. They're being taught that these men are capable of turning, as a matter of fact, are capable of turning bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. There's a little bit more than just do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I do believe, Philip, to pick up the point, that children should be taught philosophy and should be taught a variety of philosophies, and within that should be taught, as a matter of fact, this is what people of this religion believe, this is what people of this religion believe, so they come out educated about religions. But I don't think they should be instructed, or at least I don't think the state should fund schools to instruct children to follow in any particular credo.
Christina, do you think anything's actually going to come of this? Because every time we ask parents what it is that they want, the answer comes back pretty loud and clear. Status quo, please.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that this will be such a large survey. I think it's nearly 500,000 households will be asked. So it's definitely the largest consultation that we've had with people on this matter. I wonder, you know, we've had the conversation about the changing of the ethos of primary schools, and it's been something that's been flagged for a long time as coming, but it's been slow for, you know, schools to get off the ground, and we haven't seen many changing over. But I think it's going to spark a larger debate about, you know, what we want. The younger children in primary school, like I mentioned, like I'm coming from it from a perspective of I went to a Catholic primary school but went to a multi-denominational secondary school where we had those classes around just, you know, learning about different religions, Protestant, Hinduism.
Most secondary schools are multi-denominational, that's the reality.
Yeah, and you know, I only found it benefit to me to learn, well, you know, people in my class were different than me and having conversations around that, and it gives you a broader perspective of the world. So I think it'll be interesting to see the results, whether people will be in favour of having those classes even after school. Will that have knock-on, you know, repercussions to staffing, to teachers, to parents, to after-school hours? You know, all that will have to be discussed, I think.
The Taoiseach is in Brazil at the moment, chiding other world leaders who aren't there for their lack of common purpose on taking climate action. Now, Fiona, this is the same man who 3 weeks ago said that doing everything possible on climate action was going to be socially divisive. Is he speaking out of both sides of his mouth at the same time?
I don't believe so. It's important that he was in Belém because Ireland will be leading the EU negotiations for COP31, which will be in either Adelaide or Ankara. Micheál Martin as Taoiseach and Head of State is very committed to what we need to do for climate change, as indeed is the government. And we can see the results in that. At this point, over the last three years, we have gone down in terms of our emissions. Our emissions actually are lower now than they were 35 years ago.
But we're going to miss the targets. Is it more important that he's at Belém, or is it more important that we actually get to a 50% reduction by 2030, which this government is not going to do?
Both are equally important. And it is, I think, important that world leaders would gather together. It's obviously disappointing that America or China are not represented there, and that makes it all the more important for leaders, particularly in Europe, to step up to the plate and to show that they are at one with this. As Micheál Martin said himself yesterday, the science is there. We absolutely have to look at the science and we have to do everything we can. And I think that the three key areas that they're looking at in Belém are implementation, innovation and inclusion.
We've had reports on that during the course of the week. Darren, let me get your view on this. Is the Taoiseach calling for action abroad that he's not implementing at home?
I think it's important that he's at COP. For all its failings, it is the big international conference, and it's important to that there is global cooperation in relation to this. But the single most important thing that the Taoiseach can do as head of government is reduce emissions in Ireland. That's, you know, that's the real meat on the thing. And, you know, Fiona mentioned reducing emissions here in recent years. That's largely been because we've been buying in energy from Britain and elsewhere and not counting the emissions. We see it in energy infrastructure, in renewables, in public transport. You can talk about the Navan Rail, and it's been delayed.
We have been imposing carbon taxes, which make it more advantageous for people to decarbonise, a process that you don't support.
But for exactly that point, that it isn't working. Our argument in relation to carbon taxes is that they are punitive, that they're penalising people. So, in effect, it's a massive transfer of wealth. So we've locked hundreds of thousands of people out of electric vehicles, out of retrofitting their homes, but you know, literally wealthy people can access all those.
There's very, very big grants going for retrofitting and for electric vehicles and charging. And in fact, in terms of energy, 46% at the moment is coming from renewables. And just to make one point,
the
biggest solar farm in the country was opened in my own county in Kildare not too long ago. And that will actually give enough energy for 26,000 houses every year. And that's the road we're going.
Yes, absolutely. There are grants available for retrofitting. They were brought in by the Green Party as part of the last government, and since then it seems that each of the government parties has been trying to shed as quickly as possible the green clothing, if you like. I think you're absolutely right. Everybody agrees that we should be reducing the emissions. I don't think any of the large political parties are committed to doing what we need to do, the tough political decisions that are necessary in order for us to meet our target, particularly when it comes to, say, reducing the national herd or taking on the very powerful farming lobby. Now, that said, Philip, I am, when it comes to COP itself, despite the fact there's a lot of hot air spoken, including by the Brazilian president who's hosting it, I am quite optimistic that at least something has been done, that this is an example of positive multilateralism. When COP started 30 years ago, we were looking at global warming of 4%. Now the projection is for less than 2.5%. It's not good,
thing we can do is deliver offshore wind and accessible public transport. And the state has failed miserably in relation to both, despite talking about them for decades.
Christina Finn, very briefly, is this government going to reap a whirlwind in 3 or 4 years' time when we fail to hit those targets?
I'm not sure they will, because I think we've seen since this government took over, there has been a shift in policy since the Green Party left. You know, we've had independents, you know, talking up roads. People want more tar. The climate change and actions was hardly mentioned really in budget 2026. It wasn't given the same priority. But does that feed into recent polling about public, you know, where they prioritise things, cost of living, and all that has raised up the bar on climate change has moved down a lot for priority for a lot of people.
Christina Finn, Tom McEnany, Darren O'Rourke and Fiona O'Loughlin, thank you very much.